to one day see our Savior. John promises us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 that we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him even as He is. And to look on His face will indeed be glory. That's what living life is all about. Appreciate the wonderful song that we just sang. And appreciate you being here this morning to worship our God, to look forward and prepare ourselves for that wonderful day when we'll see our Savior face to face and be enraptured in glory forever. The lesson this morning is a lesson that I preached quite a bit, actually. In fact, I preached it at Eastside about 15 years ago, but I don't expect anybody to remember that. Most of us probably have trouble remembering what I preached last week. But the reason that I'm preaching this particular lesson this morning has to do with our theme of serving one another this year, and something that I think we need to really focus on in our Bible study and in the practice of it in our daily lives, and that is the matter of hospitality, showing hospitality to one another. The lesson is not brief, but it is one I think that is needed, so if you will, bear with me as we think about showing hospitality this morning. I want to start by asking a question. Who are these people? If you look at the picture, you see a somewhat elderly, short lady, another somewhat middle-aged lady perhaps, and a young man. Their skin tone is a little bit different than most of ours. They look like they may be in a school or something somewhere. What do you think of these people? What would you be willing to do for them if you met them on the street? Or maybe you saw them in Walmart, and one of them came up to you in Walmart. Or maybe one of them came in the back door of the building and came up to you, your children. How would you react to that? Well, most of us would, I think, who are Christians, would try to be kind, we'd be congenial. What else would you be willing to do for them? Suppose they had some special need that they presented to you. How would you feel about that, and what would you do in response to them? What would you do, in fact, for someone who is a stranger to you? That's really the question that we're going to start with this morning. We're going to be talking about what we would do for the love of a stranger. What we would be willing to do for the love of someone who is a stranger to us. And in talking about this, we'll be discussing the very important topic of hospitality. Loving strangers is a basic principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you think about it, Jesus died for strangers, for people He didn't know personally, at least not as a man on this earth. He died for the whole world. The way Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 is like this. He says, "Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, with having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So Christ died for people who are called aliens, strangers, and foreigners. People who were outside of the covenant of God. What would Jesus do for strangers? Well, He loved them so much He died for them. That's what He'd do. People who weren't like Him, people who weren't sinless like Him, they weren't Jewish like Him, people all over the world, these uncircumcised Gentiles, outside of a relationship with God, Jesus died for them. It's really the fundamental point of the gospel, isn't it? That Jesus died for all of us. Preaching the gospel was done to those who were strangers. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15 talks about how he made it his point to take this message of love, this message of self-sacrifice, of servanthood of Jesus, to take this message to those who were strangers, of foreigners, different from himself. In Romans 15 and verse 15, he talks about the grace of God that was given to me, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, he says, I have made it my aim to preach the gospel where Christ was not named. He wants to take the gospel to people who don't know it, who are not like him, who are not part even of his culture. I heard an interesting lecture. I was able to go to down to Florida for a couple of days this week and got to hear 8 lectures. One of the lectures that I heard was by a man, preacher by the name of David McClister, and he was talking about ethnic relationships and problems in Bible times. And basically he had a bunch of quotes. They were just quotes, Romans talking about how they hated the Gentiles, or the Greeks, I should say. And the Greeks talking about how they hated the Jews, and the Jews talking about how they hated everybody. And so basically everybody hated everybody in the ancient world. There were such cultural and ethnic divides in that time. And to think of Christ coming and dying for everybody, to think of Paul reaching across those cultural and ethnic divides, and people who were very, very different from one another, worshiping in the same places together, being part of the same congregations. You'll notice as Paul writes his letters that he writes letters to congregations where there were definitely both Jews and Greeks in the mix. And these people were having, as we do today, to learn to love one another and to show that love in real and tangible ways. This was the gospel as it unfolded in the first century. How should we see strangers? We should see strangers, those who are different from us, those who are ethnically different from us, those who are not part of our social economic plane. We should see all of them as people to love, as people to show love to. It's interesting that in the Hebrew language, the word for foreigner literally means guest. I want you to think about the implications of that. When in Hebrew, you saw someone who was from out of town, you say, well, there's a, the word was grar, but there's one of those. And you were saying, well, there's a foreigner, but literally the term meant guest. That's somebody I'm supposed to have as a guest. That's somebody I'm supposed to show some love to. In the Greek language of the New Testament, the word for hospitality, philoxenos, really means the love of strangers. Hospitality literally is the love of strangers. So loving strangers is a basic principle of the gospel, and it was part of the culture of God's people both in ancient times and in the New Testament. And I want to elaborate that on that in just a little bit as we look back in our Old Testaments at the Israelites and what their obligations were concerning loving strangers and showing hospitality. If you'll look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17, 18, and 19, Moses says that the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality or takes a bribe. God shows no partiality. We say, how can that be said when he had chosen Israel as his special covenant people? Yes, he did, for the purpose of bringing his son into the world to save all of mankind. God's eye was always on all men and their salvation and their well-being. And it says about him that he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger. You see, you have to love the stranger because God loves the stranger. And if you're a child of God and you're like him, Israelite, you need to love the strangers. And besides that, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You know what it's like back in the days of Joseph, when the Israelites first went into Egypt, and they were treated so well and so kindly at first. Eventually, of course, they became slaves and were treated harshly. But in that 430-year period, they knew what it was to be strangers in a strange land. And because of that experience, they should surely be motivated to love strangers themselves and to show that in tangible ways. Over in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 33, the command is this: if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. Now, there's a lot of talk in our country today about immigration reform, people being here illegally. I don't think the law should be broken. I think we need to keep the laws that we've got. But that doesn't give anybody an excuse to mistreat anybody. To fail to show love to anybody. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. This was not said just of a neighbor, as it was said in New Testament. The Pharisees apparently taught, you know, you just love your neighbor like that. But it was said of the stranger. You love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So the stranger was not to be mistreated or oppressed. Exodus 22 and verse 21. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Exodus 23 and verse 9. You shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And then I want you to notice especially Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35. As we look at this obligation to love strangers that God even had for His people in the Old Testament age. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35. The text there says this: if one of your brethren becomes poor, and we've read all of these verses about how God wants them to treat strangers well, not to mistreat them, to treat them like they're one of their own. But then look at this verse. If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Think about what's being said there. See, the stranger and the sojourner, the foreigner, they were to be shown love. They were to be helped out if they needed it, given a place to stay if they needed it. But then if one of their own, if one among the Israelites became poor, fell onto hard times, they were to be shown that same kind of love. We're going to see that in the New Testament, these principles apply in exactly the same way. That it shouldn't matter if one is in the body of Christ or out of the body of Christ as far as our personal love for them. We're going to love them. We're going to show that in real and tangible ways. And we're talking here at Eastside, we're focusing on loving and serving one another, especially in the body of Christ, but also extending that out and beyond the borders of the body of Christ. So what was true among the Israelites is to be true among Christians. You see in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. Do not forget to entertain strangers. In Romans 12 and verse 13, we're told that we're to be given to hospitality. What do you think it means to be given to something? Given to hospitality. You're in it all the way, right? You don't hold back anything. You're not just doing it once in a while. But you're devoted to it. It's a habit of your life. You're given to hospitality. And remember what we said hospitality means? The love of strangers. You're given to showing love to strangers. And not necessarily strangers who are like you, of your same status level, of your comfort zone. Not necessarily just those kinds of people. Not people who you can invite them over and they'll invite you back over to their house the next week. Not just people like that. But more particularly, people who are not like that. People who are not like you. People who cannot return the favor. This is Jesus' exact instruction in the book of Luke, chapter 14, where he says in verse 12, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. That's Jesus talking, friends. It's wonderful to have times spent with folks that are similar to us, that we share common interests with. But is it not even a greater thing to stretch the boundaries of our love beyond that and share what we have with those that are different? That's what Jesus wants us to do. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, we learn that as in Israel, we are to show the same love for brethren that we show to strangers. Show the same love to brethren who need it that we might show to someone we don't even know. By the way, sometimes those are the same people. I think sometimes we were talking about this in the men's meeting a little while back. You know, someone sits on this side of the auditorium, someone sits on that side of the auditorium, and never the twain shall meet. We sometimes sit in the same place and worship God together and really don't know one another. So sometimes a brother can be a stranger, even in a congregation of this size, worshiping together week by week. But Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, he says this, be hospitable to one another. Talking to Christians. Be hospitable, show love for strangers to one another, brethren, without grumbling. Don't complain about it. Put your heart into it. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, we learn that those who are leaders in the church, elders, should be given to hospitality, the King James Version says. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, we learn again that that's one of their qualifications, that an elder should be a lover of hospitality. So this is held up to us as the qualifications of elders are, as a standard to which we should all try to aspire. The widow who's going to be enrolled and taken into the number and helped out should be have been one. The widow indeed, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, should be one who has lodged strangers. This tells us of her character, of her true love and devotion to God and to His people, that she has served as a servant of God's people. So these are the requirements, both in the Old and New Testament, regarding showing love to one another. What does this hospitality, this practice of showing love, actually involve in a practical sense? Well, probably the first thing we think of when we talk about hospitality is sharing a fine meal. And I'd like you to go back to Genesis chapter 18. And notice a text with me here that fascinates me in a number of ways. And normally we don't look at this aspect of it. But it has to do with a visit that Abraham received from three men who actually represented the presence of the Lord. Abraham, it says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1, was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Verse 2 says, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. I am not sure if Abraham knew that these were messengers of the Lord at this point or not. I rather kind of doubt that he did, but that's really neither here nor there. What I want to get out of the story is the way he treated these men. He said to them, my Lord, if I found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. So here's some guys, they just appear. Abraham sees them. He runs out to greet them, and he begs them. He says, don't pass by. Why don't you stop? Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. So he's offering them, you know, some refreshment to be able to sit there and rest under the shade tree. And he says, and I will bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham invites three strangers basically for lunch. Now sit down here and rest a while and we'll feed you lunch. And the text says that Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, his wife. And he says, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal and knead it and make cakes. And you can just sort of see this. He rushes into the tent and he says, Sarah, we've got company. You know, you got to make something quick. Get some biscuits ready. Do something here. And then he's running around and he says, he ran to the herd. Abraham is 100 years old. He's 100 years old. And he runs to the herd. And he took a tender calf and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he set it before them. all this rushing around to get all of this wonderful meal prepared. And he set it before them, and he stood by them like a waiter. That's hospitality. It wasn't just three strangers come by and, well, can I give you a bologna sandwich? Here was a man who wanted to give three strangers rest, refreshment, a wonderful meal. What a way to show love. Feeding a fine meal like this. Taking people in overnight is a way to show hospitality. Job in Job 31 and verse 32 talks about how no sojourner, had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. Being willing to have people stay the night with you, you need a place to stay. Christians, a lot of times, preachers come through the area, Christians traveling from place to place. Sometimes, of course, nowadays there are hotels all over the place, and a lot of people can afford those, but what a nice thing to ask, open your home up. Somebody can stay with you. And while you're doing that, even to provide them protection. In Genesis chapter 19, two of the three that had gone to visit Abraham went on down to Sodom. And in Genesis chapter 19, it describes them now as angels that came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, "No, but we'll spend the night in the open square." But Lot insisted strongly. And so they turned into him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked them unleavened bread, and they ate. Very much like what Abraham had done for these strangers. But you know the rest of this story. That night, wicked men from Sodom come around, young and old, surround the house, and demand that these two men be brought out, that they might know them carnally. And Lot steps out the door and closes the door behind him, and he begs them, he says, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is a reason that they have come under the shadow of my roof." We read that, and we think, what is wrong with Lot? How can you offer your two virgin daughters to this mob of lusty men to protect two strangers who come into your house? I mean, I've got two. I can't even imagine that. But I'll tell you what Lot understood that we don't understand. He was going to love those strangers like he loved his own family. He was going to protect them. That was the command that God later gave to Israel, wasn't it? You protect them, you love them, you care for them like you would your own family. I think there's a lesson about the depth of love that one would be willing to show, even to somebody who's a stranger, to protect their well-being. Being willing to share whatever you have, whether it's a lot or a little. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17 goes to the widow at Zarephath and asks for something to eat. She doesn't have much. She describes it as a little flour in a bin and a small bit of oil. But she goes and fixes it. I've been in places in this world where the people really didn't have enough to eat. both in America and several times in different countries. But I've been in places where Christians wanted to share it with me. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. But the meal they had, they wanted to give to me. That's hospitality. What kind of excuse can we offer? What could we say to God? Well, I don't have it to give, God. My home is small. We don't have much food anyway. I don't have anything to share. You don't see people, Old Testament, New Testament, you don't see people offering those kinds of excuses. You see people being willing to share whatever it is that they have. I'll talk with you about why we should be hospitable. If you haven't picked up on it yet, you need to be hospitable to express your love. In 1 John chapter 3, John writes these words about the nature of love and its expression. He says in verse 16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We love not just by saying that we love each other, but by showing one another that we love each other. In real and tangible ways, in all of the ways we just talked about, whether it's feeding a meal, sharing what we have, helping a brother out, giving somebody a place to spend the night if they need it, whatever it might be, those are the ways we show love. In the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 13, we're told that we need to be distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality again there. In verse 10, stated that we're to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. These are the obligations that we have if we're to express our love to one another. We should be hospitable because of the possibility of entertaining heavenly guests. This is what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13:2. I read the first part of the verse earlier, but you know the rest of it, where the writer says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Every time I've ever taught that passage in a Bible class, you always get the question, does that mean, Steve, does that mean that you might, you know, have a stranger into your house and it could be an angel? Do angels really walk among us today? My answer to that is typically, I don't really know. I don't think so, but I don't really know. But I will guarantee you this. If you show love to strangers, if you are hospitable to brethren and those who are outside the body of Christ alike, you will show hospitality to a heavenly guest. I can promise you. You say, well, how can you promise that? Because that's what Jesus said. Remember in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about the judgment day. He talks about those who are going to be saved, those who are going to hear, enter in. He says, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. In prison and you came to me." And people ask him, "When did we see you like that? When did we do those things?" And the response, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And so in showing hospitality, in caring about the welfare of others, in sacrificing ourselves for that, we are showing love to Christ. You might notice that our theme for this year is serving God by serving one another. When you give that morsel of food to a brother or a stranger, you're serving God. Inasmuch as you did it to that person, you did it to Christ. We need to recognize that. that the people who need our help and the people that we can help and the people that we do help are Christ manifest before us. And that in loving them, we love Him. I love the story that Tony Campolo tells of being on famine relief work in the Dominican Republic several years ago. He got in one of these little prop planes and landed on a grass airfield and took supplies into a remote village and stayed there several days. Came time for him to leave. The same little rickety plane landed on the grass field to pick him up. And just about that time, a woman appeared carrying her child with her, who was, a black child, but it was all skin was all splotchy and white from malnutrition, and the hair was falling out in clumps, as he described it. And she's carrying this child, and she comes up to him as he's getting ready to go out to the plane, and she says, "Sir, take my child back with you to America. Please take my child back with you." And he said, "Ma'am, I can't do that." And she begins to cry and to weep on him. "Please take my child." And he said, "No, he couldn't." And he picked up his bag and he ran out to the plane and he got in. And she followed him out, screaming all the way, "Please take my child, please take my child." And he said he was so glad when the plane finally got the engine going, the noise of it drowned out her cries, and they took off. And he was, he said, halfway back to the capital city before he realized who the child was. But you know who the child was, right? It was Jesus. Because in as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. What opportunities we have to love Jesus by loving someone who's sitting next to us, someone across the building from us, someone we meet in Walmart. What opportunities we have to show that we love Jesus. We need to show hospitality to be good stewards of what God has given us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You see, as servants, we are stewards. We've been given things to take care of. And here in America, here in this congregation, we have been richly blessed with material abundance. Do you think, do you really think that God has given you all of that material abundance just for you to enjoy, for you to live in the lap of luxury and selfishly spend it for your own wants and pleasures? Is that why God has given you what you've got? Christian, wake up. Be a good steward of what God has given you. And the way that you do that, look at the text. What does it say? Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as stewards, good stewards of the grace of God. God gave you that, not for yourself, but to give it to somebody else. To serve somebody else. To be a servant with it. We need to be good stewards of what God has given us. We need to show hospitality in order to promote the gospel. We can do that in a number of ways. And my time is well past gone, but I have just a couple of other things I want to share with you. Thank you for your patience this morning. In 3 John, John writes about encouraging preachers. And he says, "We ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth." I know people, and you know people. There are people in this congregation, when preachers come through town, they're needing a place to stay, they're here for a few days, whatever, they're talking to congregations about getting support or whatever, that I know people open up their homes. And that's a wonderful way of showing hospitality and furthering the gospel. That's what John is talking about in that passage. Of course, there are other ways you can further the gospel by showing hospitality, such as inviting somebody who's not a Christian to share a meal with you, to come into your home, to go out to eat with you, so you can have an opportunity to sit and get to know them and talk with them about the gospel. I remember a number of years ago, one of my first experiences in doing that kind of thing. We were living in Gadsden, Alabama. There was a young man who was attending worship services. His wife was a Christian. He was not. She went out of town to visit her folks in Arkansas. And Sandy and I were interested in having a Bible study with this man, and so we invited him over. He likes spaghetti. We said, come over, Sandy will fix her spaghetti, and we'll sit down and enjoy a meal together. And so we did that, and he came over, and after the meal was over, we sat down in the living room, and I said, now, Mark, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't have a man over to eat a meal with you and then as a pretense for, you know, talking about religious things. You wouldn't do that. And I said, yes, I would. And we did. And he was very congenial and eventually became a Christian. He's a wonderful, strong Christian yet still today. But you can do that. Anybody can do that kind of thing. There were two businessmen who were waiting together at a train station. And a young man, they were waiting there to take their commuter train into town, into the big city. And a young man walked up to one of the two businessmen and said, excuse me, sir, do you have the time? And the businessman just ignored him, just acted like he wasn't even there. And the young man kind of really got right in his face and he said, excuse me, sir, do you have the time? And the businessman just turned away. And the young man walked off in disgust. And the other guy that was standing there, the businessman standing next to him, says to his friend, he says, why didn't you give that guy the time of day? I mean, you got a watch on your wrist and it wouldn't have been anything just to tell him what time it is. And the man said, well, it's like this. What would have happened if I'd given him the time of day? And he'd have said thank you and we'd have got to talking and we'd have started, you know, to enjoy one another's company. And he'd have said, you know, we've got a little bit of time. Why don't we go over here to the concession stand and we'll get a Coke? And so I'd go over and we'd share a Coke together and be talking and enjoying one another's company. And pretty soon I just realized I like this young man so much. I want to spend some more time with him. And I'd say to him, I'm just going to take the day off and we'd go back to my house and have lunch together. How does that sound? The young man says, that sounds great. So, you know, he comes to my house and we're sitting there in the kitchen having some lunch, enjoying some sandwiches and telling some stories. And my daughter walks in and she's 21 years old and she's beautiful. And they take one look at each other and fall in love. And 6 months later, they're married. And now he's in my family. And I do not want a man in my family who cannot afford a watch. And the moral of the story is, the reason we don't show love to strangers is because we don't want him in our family. That's really the problem. Jesus died for that man. Doesn't matter who that man is. Jesus died for that woman. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love her. As if that person were Jesus himself. Who are these people? Some of you may possibly recognize them. They've been in pictures of Gardner Hall's reports. This is Anthony, Sylvia, and Doña Nina. Gardner Hall baptized Sylvia into Christ November 11, 2007. Anthony has come down with Gardner to North Alabama at least once to go to the training for the young men that Sewell Hall has over at the Rustic Youth Camp. In fact, Anthony was in my home for a meal on one of those trips. So that's who they are. Guess what? They're in your family. Isn't that wonderful? Friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, let's open our hearts. Let's open our hearts, starting right here at Eastside with one another. Spend time together. Share what we've got. Get to know one another. Help each other out. Have one another into our homes. Let's show the kind of love for one another that is worthy of people who call themselves Christians. This morning, if you're not in the family, we'd love for you to be. Jesus died for you. If you're ready to make that commitment, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.